San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee and other community leaders gathered earlier today in Golden Gate Park to commemorate World AIDS Day. It's been 30 years since the first case of AIDS was diagnosed, and 2 decades since the National AIDS Memorial Grove was created in the park to honor those who have died from the disease. Last night, hundreds of people gathered in the grove for an evening of remembrance of loved ones lost to AIDS. The 7-acre garden of redwoods was illuminated with candles and light sculptures, performances by Copious Dance Theater, and live accompaniment by a cellist from the Oakland Symphony. According to a recent statewide analysis of health data released this week, the fight against HIV and AIDS is far from over. The number of cases has tripled among black patients and nearly quintupled among Hispanics in California since 1988. One drug often prescribed for people suffering from illnesses is medical marijuana, and the very nature of that herb, medicinal or otherwise, has focused a lot of attention on our part of the country.
What we are doing is risky. What we are doing is dangerous.
Every day you get to walk home, not in handcuffs, that's a good day.
Tonight, a show called Weed Wars is premiering on the Discovery Channel, and it's entirely based on the Bay Area medical marijuana trade. It's interesting timing. Yesterday, a U.S. district judge in Oakland rejected a request from dispensaries to keep federal prosecutors from filing charges against them. It's the latest in a series of events that have been challenging California marijuana advocates, kicked off by Melinda Haig, the U.S. attorney for California's Northern District, when she announced in early October that the Justice Department is targeting certain cannabis dispensaries for closure.
Last week, we sent letters to the landlords and lien holders of these stores, putting them on notice that marijuana is being sold and used on their property in close proximity to children, and that the operations must cease.
Store owners and marijuana advocates see this as a way to deconstruct California's medical marijuana laws, and they've initiated lawsuits to stop all federal agencies from interfering with what they describe as properly licensed businesses. The unresolved issues surrounding medical marijuana are much more complicated than that, however, so we asked KALW Stephen Short to catch us up on the state of medical marijuana. He joins me now in studio. Stephen, we just heard Melinda Haig, the U.S. Attorney for Northern California, saying they're only targeting cannabis dispensaries near schools. So why do advocates see this as an attack on medical marijuana on the whole?
Well, all of these dispensaries have been licensed by cities or counties, so they see this as unfairly changing the rules. They also see it as eroding the respectability medical marijuana has earned in the past few years. Now, for the Justice Department to label what dispensaries consider medicine as something that shouldn't be near schools implies that it's dangerous. But Haig did say at her press conference back in October that medical value or not, the whole idea has gotten out of hand.
The California Compassionate Use Act was intended to help seriously ill people, but the law has been hijacked by profiteers who are motivated not by compassion, but by money.
That was Melinda Haig, U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of California, explaining why her office is going after licensed medical marijuana dispensaries. We're talking with KALW Stephen Short. Stephen, what do dispensary owners say about these accusations?
Dispensary owners and their supporters, who I spoke with, stressed that they are nonprofit co-ops, not money-grubbing drug dealers. They get their licenses and they pay their taxes just like any other business.
All right, so taking that thought at face value, any idea what those taxes and fees amount to?
Well, as with everything else associated with this issue, exact numbers are hard to find. But the California Board of Equalization has estimated that medical marijuana generates between $53 million and $104 million in annual sales taxes. That's a big range, but either number is impressive.
Wasn't the Justice Department supposed to make marijuana enforcement a lower priority under President Obama?
Well, when he was running for president, a lot of people did interpret his remarks that way. Here's candidate Obama in April of 2008 in an interview with the Mail Tribune newspaper in Medford, Oregon.
What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue, simply because I want folks to be investigating violent crimes and potential terrorism. We've got a lot of things for our law enforcement officers to deal with.
Stephen, what we just heard President Obama say seems in conflict with what the Justice Department has announced.
Well, yes. In fact, in the early days of his administration, President Obama specifically said that licensed dispensaries in states with medical marijuana laws would be left alone. Now, I spoke with Robert McCoon about this. He's a UC Berkeley professor at the Goldman School of Public Policy. Here's what he said about these seeming contradictions.
While they don't think medical marijuana patients should be a high priority for prosecution, trafficking in marijuana or profiteering from medical marijuana is still on the table as a legitimate use of their resources. And they make quite clear that they're going to reserve the right to be tough.
That's Berkeley Professor Robert McCoon. He says the Justice Department has legitimate concerns about profiteering in the medical marijuana industry. We're talking with KALW's Stephen Short about a recent federal crackdown. Stephen, how are medical marijuana advocates responding to these letters from the Justice Department that are telling them to shut their doors?
The letters actually went to the property owners. They alerted them of possible illegal activity on their property and gave them 45 days to evict the tenants or face seizure of their property, along with possible felony charges themselves. Now, that 45-day period ended last week. Some co-ops have closed and others have moved.
And I imagine that others are taking other actions. What else is happening from their end?
Well, you won't be surprised to hear that two lawsuits have been filed. The one prepared by the Americans for Safe Access charges that the federal government's actions are unconstitutional since the state should be able to set its own health policy. The other one, filed by a group of patients, landlords, and co-ops, charged that the Justice Department is breaking their own previous pledge to leave them alone. But earlier this week, a U.S. district judge in Oakland rejected that request.
Stephen, why do you think the Justice Department has decided to take these actions at this particular time?
I asked Professor McCoon that same thing, and here's what he had to say.
You know, I think every 4 years we enter a presidential silly season where candidates make pronouncements about law and order that are ill-considered, and they're gambling that it will play well with the electorate. But it's usually not a good time to discuss rational drug policy. And I think President Obama does not want to be accused of being soft on drugs.
Now, Stephen, wasn't this all supposed to be settled when medical marijuana was first approved by voters?
Well, yes and no. Prop 215 has been law since 1996, and it allows licensed patients to possess marijuana. But it says nothing about how they're supposed to acquire it. That's part of the problem, along with the fact that all things marijuana carry federal felony charges. I think this is why Justice is saying they're not going after sick people. They're going after illegal activities associated with medical marijuana. Their gripe is that not all of the product is getting to the patients. A lot of it is getting to the recreational market.
Right. So looking ahead to 2012 now, what's on the horizon for medical marijuana?
Just a couple of weeks ago, a new voter initiative to reduce penalties concerning marijuana was certified to begin collecting signatures to put it on the ballot. A couple of similar but different initiatives are also in the works, so we may have another one of those multiple-choice ballots to deal with about a year from now.
But wouldn't any new state law, voter or legislator-approved, conflict with federal law still?
Well, that depends. Marijuana is classified as a Schedule I drug, like heroin, making it totally illegal on the federal level. But 16 states and the District of Columbia have some type of legality applying to marijuana, so if the states do it right, they may not get in trouble, or so they hope.